It's an ordinance against what?
Us renting our parking lot out.
Okay, folks, I'd like to call the meeting order. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to welcome everyone to the January 28th work session of Chester Heights Borough. On the agenda tonight, leading off, we have roll call. Present tonight, we have Mayor Stacy Smith, Solicitor Jerry Montella, Councilpersons Philip Locke, Jean Morales, Teresa Gustinelli, myself, Steve Cocosa, and Susan Clark. Not present tonight, we have Borough Engineer, not in attendance, and also Councilperson Jordan Goldberg. Next up on the agenda is the opportunity for the public to address council. We ask that you state your name and address for the record. Yes.
So has the council received any written correspondence from the Bureau of Elections or St. Thomas regarding the change in polling places, or has all the correspondence been verbal to date?
Sue, can you answer that question? I think we had received something from St. Thomas that they do not wish to have.
Oh, that was last October. They had sent a letter to Borough Council saying that if they would consider having elections, they would want a cleaning service and they would want $1,000 for the day for the retainer, insurance retainer.
And that was reported by me the night before the election.
That was
It was in November I reported it.
Yeah. I just wasn't sure if we had been a written correspondence or if it was a verbal one from them. That was my
answer. Well, I believe that would come from the Bureau of Elections. Is that correct? So the borough.
The rest of the correspondence goes to the Bureau of Elections.
Formal from the Bureau of Elections to the borough.
Not that I'm aware of at this point.
The only thing I might suggest, and we don't really have much sway, but if we wanted to send a note to the Bureau of Elections,
sure.
We may want to actually look at having it in the fire department or here.
What was that?
Charge you. What'd you say?
200. They want 1,000.
You know, now we actually have a nice municipal building.
Sure.
It may be time to move it here. I don't know if we want to make that suggestion to the Bureau of Elections or not. But,
Jerry, is that final decision up to the Bureau of Elections or up to the borough? Who would have the open say?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to it sitting here tonight. I'd have to look at it. Maybe I think it's Bureau of Elections, though.
Okay. So that might be something we'd be proactive with moving forward.
And I'm pretty sure we wouldn't be paying it, you know, that request. That doesn't come out of our fund.
Between the Bureau of Elections and the polling sites.
Yeah. Okay.
It's more we need to be aware of the conversations happening, but it has nothing to do with Borough Council.
Okay.
Unless we want to be proactive and make a suggestion where we'd like to see it, but we still wouldn't be able to pick it.
Okay.
Right.
Any further questions? Okay, moving forward up on the agenda is number four, Planning Commission vacancy responses.
Yes, so council and mayor should all have the resumes regarding the Planning Commission. If anyone needs copies of those, let me know.
I actually only requested letters of interest. I'm not sure why resumes were coming in.
Okay.
But whatever.
And we've had a vacancy for a zoning hearing alternate, and we are taking resumes or letters of interest for that. I'm just going to ask Gina if you could just post that out. Do you want letters of interest?
Just
or
letters of interest and general idea of why they think they would be good to serve on that particular committee.
Is there going to be an arrangement for interviews, or how's that going to work?
For the Planning Commission or for the Zoning Board?
For either.
My understanding is that recommendation will come from the Nominating and Vacancy Committee. So if you see something in a resume that you would like to call someone in for an interview, that's
well, it's just if we're going to vote on them, I think I'd like to hear from them. So
sure.
If they're coming in to that committee, I'd like to be there. Right?
Okay.
There isn't anybody else.
So that
which
if
is
there's
Steve
someone...
and I.
Okay.
Okay. So
yes,
we can
absolutely.
Arrange for them
anyone is welcome
to come in.
Okay.
So will that be, you'll make, you're going to try to do them all at the same time, like one after another? You want to figure out how you're going to do that?
Why don't we compare calendars and see what would work and we'll take it from there.
Okay, thanks.
I have someone that's interested in that I sent in. I just didn't get their paperwork. Can I still
sure.
send that in?
Sure.
Yeah, so my understanding is they don't need to go to me, even though I'm on the committee, just if they can send them to the borough and it will be distributed equally. And then Steve and I will take the time to go through all of them. And if anybody's interested in being interviewed or has others that they want to have send their information, we can do that.
If you could just let us know, I'd like to sit and hear what they have to say. So.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I believe, Jerry, you can check, is that the interviews have to be conducted in public?
Believe so.
Yes, they do. Okay. Are they allowed to be held here?
Yes.
Thank you.
The last time we actually did it during a borough council meeting, but let you guys decide how you're going to do that. So.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Very good. Moving forward, number 5 on the agenda, street light changeover to LED. Larry, I think you have some information on that, of course.
Yes. I attended a seminar last Thursday at the Springfield Country Club with PICO and the Delaware Valley Regional Planning Commission. Basically, I was trying to make heads or tails because we had talked about it in late summer or early fall of last year. We had gotten a proposal from PICO regarding, and I don't think any of us could make heads or tails of it. So it was quite enlightening, and I asked Sue to get the information on, I think basically we don't own any of our streetlights currently. In order to move forward, we would need to purchase, the first step would be to purchase the streetlights from PICO. And that would move us from what they call an SL-S rate to an SL-E rate. Okay, which is municipality owned. And then there is a Liz from Delaware Valley Regional Planning Commission is doing rounds of assistance with converting over to LED. There was some heated discussions at this meeting, primarily from the business manager from Swarthmore. She basically said, moving to LED is good business, but you don't save any money, ultimately. It's a wash. It may even cost you a couple bucks. But, and nobody has had them installed long enough for the payback from maintenance yet. So, I mean, that's ultimately, so I'm looking for Borough Council's direction to say, do we want to move forward? I mean, ecologically, yes, we should, but whether, there's no financial, benefit.
Sure.
There really isn't in moving forward and going to LED. So, or we can continue as we are currently with PICO-owned street lights.
Did we budget anything for this?
The street lights?
Yes.
I believe we did. We put that in the budget this year, didn't we, Sue?
Not really. Not for the purchase.
Not for the purchase, no.
Yeah, I mean, we know.
Because we didn't really understand
what
the cost was and why,
No, I remember that. I think we actually discussed it, but we didn't put anything in, so.
Because in June, we received a proposal from PICO.
Yes.
And it never got any further than the discussion.
Sure.
Right.
Larry, one question. What was PICO's response to the gentleman from Swarthmore's response? Could PICO make it more appealing?
No.
No?
It's PUC. The rates are adjusted and set by the PUC.
Okay.
Basically, it's, we basically pay anywhere from $15 to $38 a fixture for PICO to own them. And then basically you go down to, if the municipality owns them, you pay a $6.70 tap fee. And then it goes down to a 1.7 cent per kilowatt hour is a base rate.
Okay.
And what, you know, her complaint was that, you know, they raised the, or they lowered the tap fee but raised the kilowatt hour. So it basically just, I mean, she had no net savings.
Okay.
From going from incandescent or mercury vapor or whatever they had over to LED. They did it, but she sees no net savings. And they had, I want to say almost like 500 lights that they did in Swarthmore.
Okay.
You know?
Part of the reason for that is I saw a grid in one of the PSAB training sessions about the rates for the major power companies in Pennsylvania. PICO is just much higher than everybody else. Their LED rates are just out of sight. So that's why you don't save that much money.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, and again, I think before we ever make a decision, we actually have to see the numbers, but I think one was very capital intensive, so very costly up front. If we took ownership of the lights, we had to pay a lot now and then saw...
It's a two-phase...
Versus where we are now.
To get the light, the pole, you know, all the attachments and everything, and you start to pay a tap fee and all that stuff from PICO. So there is an initial capital, and then you're looking at another initial capital to convert all that to LED.
So it wasn't just breaking even, it was also the cash flow. And there's a significant cash flow early on, which kind of scared us off. But until we actually see those numbers,
Well, that's why I'm trying to do. I mean, even if we get permission to have Sue send this information to Liz from Delaware Valley Regional Planning Commission, she could make, you know, she will make heads or tails and be able to report back to us what exactly, you know, the capital will be on phase one, which would be purchasing the lights, and then phase two, which would be retrofitting them over to a compatible LED light that will still give you the same coverage. I mean, and that was the other thing, that we didn't have the expertise to go in and say, hey, a 300 watt mercury vapor or this light on that pole in that location is putting out X number of lumens, and you need to put another LED, an LED of this in order to get the same lumens.
Would it be maybe a good idea to phase this in instead of doing it all at once, maybe? Replace them over time rather than...
You can do that.
...big outlay?
You can do that, yes.
So,
yes.
I know this is a bit of a facetious question. I already know the answer, but if they're PICO's lights, why don't they put in the LEDs if it's saving energy and good for the environment and reduces their electrical costs? Why don't they put them in and then we'll buy it from them? Has anybody suggested that to them?
Well, that was a comment I had when we spoke about this last time. Yeah. Why are we buying these lights?
Lights old, and then old we have to fix them if we don't know them.
Why wouldn't PICO just reclaim those lights, if that's a proper term for it, and allow us to pay for the new lights?
And I know the answer, but I think that should be
raised with that.
I can pose it. You know,
yeah, I'm just curious what their answer is going to be. But if they own them.
There is this woman, Angela, who is,
she's the one that sent the letter.
Angela Ferrer, from PICO, as far as, I can email her and ask her that question and say, hey, why doesn't PICO have that, in the process of, if we're paying.
Yeah, why aren't they upgrading their system before we buy it?
And I'm sure those existing fixtures have been paid for
many times over. Yeah.
Larry, one more comment on the same topic. Lenai Road, starting from Lenape Valley, coming uphill on the Chester Heights side, those streetlights are LED already. I happened to notice that a month or so ago.
Okay. They might have been converted through Aston Township.
Okay, even though they're on the...
Even though they're on Chester Heights side.
Okay.
They may have been converted through...
Sure, okay.
Really?
...an Aston, endeavor.
Thank you. I think also at the time, speaking of the lumens, Matt was supposed to or going to look into the regulations on that particular issue about lumens and stuff. I don't know if he ever looked into it.
Yeah, they, I mean, they basically have Delaware Valley Regional Planning Commission and PICO have engineers that will say, you know, you have this light incandescent at that intersection. In order to get comparable or slight improvement, because LEDs are very directional now, whereas incandescent are mostly, you know, broadcast. So they do have the expertise that we don't have to really garner, you know, any local. That was what was nice about the Delaware Valley Regional Planning. They took it basically and would, you know, fellowship it through the whole process.
Do they have an understanding of the lifetime between the incandescent and the LED bulbs? Are we going to be replacing the LEDs twice as often?
No. They're saying 15 years. Now, I mean, that got some snickers and laughs when they said that. So, I mean, there was Haverford Township and Lower Marion were there as well. So I know that they were well into the process as well. And I don't think they get 15 years, but I still think they get more than, you know, what they're getting at currently out of incandescent.
Oh, okay.
You know, and then there's the whole other step of moving the light to smart technology, and that was, I think, way beyond where we want to go, because you basically had to have a wireless infrastructure that could garner all the wattage hours, you know, all the amperages and all that stuff, and you would get the, you know, the smart savings, and that I didn't think we were even close to being.
I don't think we have enough lights.
We don't have sidewalks. We don't have, I mean, we're not Swarthmore.
No.
We're Lower Marion.
No.
Or
Swarthmore, even.
Yeah.
You know,
it would be hard for us to see.
With that number of lights.
Right.
So.
Thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving forward on the agenda. Number six, we have PennDOT application to install a solar-powered digital speed display on the school bus stop ahead post. This is regards to the problem we've been having at 101 Valley Road. My understanding, Jerry, is that you will prepare a resolution which is required for us to do this for the meeting coming up on Monday.
I can do that. It looks like there's, Larry, did you get this?
Yes.
So, okay. Yeah. I'm assuming PennDOT needs a resolution in order to process the application.
Yes. We were basically going to move the LED that was sitting on Valley Road and Heather and moving it up there. We weren't aware when we installed it over there that we needed a permit.
Okay.
So this TP-160 is the PennDOT application. And it requires the application and a resolution from Borough Council.
I have one ready for Council.
There was a sample attached.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I'll clean it up.
And do we know, Larry, is there a lead time from the time we approve that resolution is turned in to...
I would think if we get it to the right people, okay, it should be pretty well expedited.
Sure.
Because I know everybody's, you know, it's as hot on everybody's burner.
Sure.
And also, I just received from Lorraine, by the way, today, who had, the printout that I submitted to Sue and gave to, you know, with the Borough Council regarding. I mean, PennDOT is suggesting 3 more school bus stops ahead signs to be posted above the stop sign, or the stop bus stop.
Sure.
I don't know what Council's, you know, feeling is regarding that, but that's their recommendation.
Okay.
You know, to put two more below Peters Lane where there's already two, so you'd have a total of 4 below Peters Lane, and you'd have an additional one in front of Peters Lane. So that's their recommendation from their engineer.
Okay.
So I stand before you asking what's Council's pleasure regarding that. There's already 2 brand new ones.
Okay.
That people are ignoring.
Yes.
And at some point, Larry, are we out of our jurisdiction, out of the borough boundaries?
Oh, we are, definitely. Okay. But, Matt has already gotten Aston's approval.
Okay.
And I don't think there would be any problem in getting approval, you know, so long as we are maintaining them.
Okay.
So, you know, but that's where we're at right now. If we get the resolution and the permit submitted to PennDOT to move the the digital sign up there, and then, you know, if we go further with moving forward and getting three more school bus stop signs ahead.
Okay.
You know, that's what they're recommending.
We'll ask Matt for his input on that on Monday night.
I have a couple of questions on that topic. One of the emails that we got, I think from PennDOT or from someone from PennDOT, said that they were going to install, PennDOT was going to install two more Chevron signs for the curve.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have a time frame on that. And then the other one was, I was driving a road the other day that had a very similar situation. It was a curve with bus stops. They actually had a big sign instead of school bus stop ahead that said, watch for stop traffic, which I think might break up some of the, now they're recommending three, so that'd be five school bus ahead signs, mm-hmm. that maybe a watched for stopped traffic right on the curve might be something we could consider.
I can put that past Matt, and he can submit it to PennDOT and see if maybe they'll change one of those signs over to maybe recommended watch for stopped traffic. That'd be perfectly fine.
Yeah. Okay.
So I could do that.
Great. Thank you, Adam. Okay, moving forward on the agenda, number seven, communication regarding commuters on Valley Brook Road. Gina?
On that same topic, Stacy and I came up with a letter that you all have a copy of in front of you that we would like to send out to our surrounding municipalities, which would be Aston, Bethel, Concord, Thornbury, and Middletown, and then also extend it to Brandywine 100, North Wilmington, and the city of Wilmington, because that's where a lot of our commuters come from. And it's really an open letter, just asking everybody to... We love that you enjoy our roads, but please pay attention to stop signs and stop and bus stops and the school speed limit at St. Thomas. And if there are no objections or, well, of course, edits are welcome, we'd like to get this letter out.
Early in it that says we're trying to protect our children, you know, and maybe that'll get their attention.
Under regarding at the very top?
Or even like the opening sentence is, can you help us protect the children in our borough? However you want to do it, I just think somehow we need to make the point that, look, all we're trying to do is to protect children.
Well, it's not just the children, it's also the old people leaving daily mass every morning. Yeah. And I also mentioned Sunday morning. So, yes, our children, but it's much more than that.
So, how are you going to get this out?
Well, we're going to mail them to the local municipalities that we know of. And then I figure we might as well send one to Daily Times and send one to the Wilmington News Journal. Hope they publish it. And, of course, do a Facebook ad and put it out on Constant Contact and ask everybody to share it as much as they can.
And I think that's great. My suggestion is I think you ought to sit down with like Karen Covey or somebody at the Daily Times and actually put a real article in or write a letter to the editor.
Could certainly do that.
Kind of thing, because most people are, unfortunately, I think, ignoring.
I don't think anybody reads the Daily Times anyway, but.
Well,
yeah.
Hot-headed political people. but.
To my comment about children, I just think that. Trying to
rile
people up a little bit and get their interest.
Yeah,
exactly. So, I mean, if we can improve the letter, we can change the opening statement. Megan has it up on her computer, so Stacy and Drew can sign it today, and we can get it moving. How would you like it to start? I'm open to suggestions. We just want to try to communicate as much as we can about, you know, posted speed limits on Valley Brook Road. Under regarding, or put a title on it.
Would you like to have them?
Or we can wait and we can do it Monday next week.
We can sign this midweek and get this out.
Sure.
So, sitting here.
Sure.
Is that fair enough, Susan?
Yeah, I mean, if you want me to try to send you something tomorrow based on what, you know, in my net, I can do that. It's not a big thing. It's just something in the beginning to kind of be like a little more of an attention. That's all.
Okay.
Okay, great. Gina, anything else on commuters or drivers, right?
Not at this moment, no.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great, thank you. Okay, moving forward, number eight, Matt Hootman is not here tonight. He had a last minute call out. For those of you that do not know, this is a co-op effort between Concord Township and Chester Heights Borough that was brought to Matt's attention by Concord Township, I think about 3 weeks ago, Larry, was it?
Yes.
Okay, and I think that was a Monday, and the grants had to be in on a Friday.
Yes.
So what it is, Concord contacted Matt about possible grant money for traffic signal work at Stony Bank Road and Route 1, where they could be synced together. So Matt had filled out the pertinent information, and that has been sent off. I'm sure he's going to explain this a lot better than I am, but he'll have that for Monday night.
I'm sorry, so what are we trying to do there? Because we've spent a lot of money on that.
We had.
Before.
We were getting ready to go forward with this with Concord Township, but somehow Concord Township came about this grant that they and we could possibly attain.
So they want to sync the lights at...
So it would be the light at Route 1 and Valley Brook, the light at Stony Bank, and then the light immediately following.
And do one at the
county. Oh, good, because you always get stuck with that one.
Exactly.
Okay, so it would be kind of...
So we had already allotted money for this, right? But there's an opportunity for a grant. We might be able to save money.
For grant money, which came about at the last minute, so...
Okay.
But Matt will have more information on that on Monday night. Okay, moving forward, number 9, items regarding the bandit ordinance.
So, all right, one of your favorite topics. I would like to, one way or other, at some point, take a vote up or down on this, because there are some residents that are complaining that bamboo is seriously approaching their property. And I know, just to editorialize here, I know this is a tough issue because some residents aren't going to like it because they have bamboo, but it is a invasive weed that is actually starting to cause trouble for other residents. And then once it's on their property, they will have that issue. So to me, one way or the other, as a borough, we need to give some remedy to residents that need to address bamboo coming from their neighbor's property. So one way or the other. So after the last conversation, there were a couple items, and I've made some corrections, and I think we need to move forward with whether to vote to take this to the community or not. But let me go through a couple of the corrections. So on page 2, we have a check mark. This is in the grass, the lawn grass section. At the time, the comment that 10 inches was too high, I would recommend we move that down to 6. Unless you all still think that's too tall, but I mean, 6 inches is still half a foot of grass. But early on, it was 10 to appease certain council people, and it seemed like you all thought that was too high. So I'm recommending that 6, so that's a change. On the next page, right now under Section A, the daily potential fines is $1,000. My recommendation is we move that down to $300 to be a little bit more reasonable. On the next page, down in Section D, my suggestion in D Part 2, instead of saying right-of-way of a public roadway, we change it to right-of-way of a borough roadway. So if it's impacting a PennDOT road, that's not really our concern or our issue, and I don't think we necessarily need to manage that. There are a lot fewer borough roads, and where it could potentially impact the integrity of a borough road, as the bamboo might come under and break up the road, I think we need to take action. So
is that the correct word, owned, or is it dedicated?
I put borough owned. It's probably borough dedicated.
Yeah.
I did pass this through our solicitor. I'm sure he would wordsmith it to make it to make it better.
We can make it dedicated.
Yeah. And so those are the three changes I suggest. And I don't know, obviously. I think we need to vote whether to move this forward or not. And I think we just need to decide whether we're going to have an ordinance on bamboo or not at this point. We've been working on this for years. And some residents where they're actually starting to be impacted by encroaching bamboo have contacted me and have some angst over it. So
I have a question.
Yes.
on the next to last page, under violations and penalties, it says a fine not exceeding $1,000. Should that be changed to $300?
That, it might, yes. So all the fines and penalties I would bring down to $300. So I think it's a little bit more reasonable, but yes. So that's 124 part A. Thanks, Sue.
Phil, questions? Are we still at the same point where the borough is not going to enforce this?
So, I mean, technically we could. But what this really allows is for a resident to have a ability to address this through a magisterial court with a neighbor. Because right now, if you have bamboo encroaching from a neighbor, you have no recourse to do anything. Under our current ordinances.
Sure.
So, you know, to me, now I can't say a council in the future might become very aggressive with it and send our, you know, inspector out and start forcing people to take care of their bamboo. I don't think that's something we would do. So to me, the intent is to allow recourse for a neighbor to address the issue if it's impacting their property.
Neighbor to neighbor.
The only time we would do it, as an example, is let's take Wawa Road. If there's bamboo actually now starting to encroach under the road and it will come up and break up a road, then we would take action as a municipality. But I don't see it as an intent that we would go onto people's property and do measurements unless there was a issue with neighbors. And it's still our intent. It actually says in here that the intent is to have the, you know, the neighbors take care of it, and we wouldn't get it. It just allows a neighbor to have something to take action on. Is that a fair statement?
It is. If it's on Wawa Road, it's a borough dedicated roadway, the ordinance allows that the bamboo cannot be within 20 feet of you've created a buffer zone.
Yeah.
And if it's within 20 feet of that road, then presumably the code enforcement officer would go measure it and, you know, stake out 20 feet from the road.
Sure.
And wherever that ends up is where that bamboo would have to be eradicated or minimized. So that, I mean, that's the issue.
Even if there was no damage currently being done to that roadway?
It doesn't say that. It says within 20 feet of the buffer zone, you'd have to remove it. And that would be a decision that Mr. Jensen would have to have.
Okay.
Then send out a notice to that homeowner and say, here, you know, this is a new ordinance, you have to remove it.
But adjacent property lines, we would not get.
Well, that would be a civil matter, I would assume.
That's a neighbor to neighbor.
Neighbor to neighbor.
Correct.
If it's within a public road,
yeah,
the borough public dedicated road, if it's within that buffer zone, then you would have to remove it. You'd have to send them a notice that they're in violation of the ordinance.
On the next to last page in paragraph F, it talks about basically private disputes.
Right.
Yes.
We can decide.
It's in your discretion. I believe the wording is it's in the borough's discretion to resolve it. Now, on the flip side, the borough, you don't have a crystal ball. You don't know whether or not a homeowner, property owner may add the borough as a party to the action, even though there is a dispute between one property owner and another property owner, because you now have this ordinance. I mean, that's a possibility. Just need to let you know that could be a possibility. A defendant or a plaintiff can always add a party, whether they're standing or jurisdiction. That's a legal argument.
Would the reason for that be because the borough is not enforcing something that's in the ordinance? Or they could be brought in for...
Yeah, I mean, it could be brought in for a number of reasons. Okay. They could make that argument. I don't know how that essentially would play out in the courts. There doesn't seem to be a lot of... There seems to be a minimal amount of litigation related to these particular ordinances.
Okay.
I would just point out the flip side of not doing this, because it's easy not to do this because we don't want to cause friction and things like that. The issue is we have an invasive plant species that in certain parts of this town is kind of running amok, and there's nothing right now you can do it. We as a borough could do about it if it's impacting our property, or a neighbor can do about it if somebody's just letting their bamboo come across. So one can imagine 30 years from now the whole place is covered in bamboo. Probably a little over exaggeration, I think, but someday, if you ever grew up in the South and you saw a kudzu, you know, that's a fast thing that, you know, you never see. You know, bamboo's a little slower moving, but it is pretty aggressive. So
in part D here, so let's say we find someone and they say, it's cheaper for me to pay the fine than it is to remediate this bamboo. Go ahead, I'll pay the fine. Now we have to, failure to comply within 30 days will result in the removal of the offending bamboo or root system by the borough, and then we'll bill the homeowner. And then if the homeowner doesn't pay, where are we?
Goes into a lien.
Okay, and if they don't move for 30 years, where are we?
Well, it's our choice at that time to move it, remove it or not. But do we spend the money to remove it?
And if we're not going to do that, why do we have this problem?
Right now, that gives us the choice. Right now, we don't have a choice. Whether we choose to do it or not is something we don't have right now.
Right.
It right now, if we didn't have this, nothing you could do about it. If we do run into somebody who wants to pay the fine or whatever, we then have a choice on what to do about it, and it gives us the choice. Right now, you know, to me, that's right now we don't have a choice. This gives us a choice to make if we have to.
Jerry, question on this topic here. If that were the case and a resident paid the fine, and then after 30 days they still hadn't removed it, and it was up to the borough's discretion to remove it at our cost, and we did not, would that set a legal precedent moving forward for other properties in the borough?
May
I just point out, the fine is $300 a day until it's resolved.
Okay.
It's not $300. It's $300 a day. So at some point, it's going to be very expensive. But
then if they don't want to pay, it then costs us more and more and more to then sue our residents. I'm very uncomfortable with that.
But that's every ordinance. That is every single ordinance we have. It's a noise ordinance. It's every ordinance we have. If they choose not to do it, our only recourse is to take them to court. Whether we choose to do that or not.
Yeah, I mean, you would take them to court, they wouldn't pay the fine, you ask for fees, costs, and not, they don't pay it, you get a judgment against that that property owner, and that judgment then becomes something they, you know, lien on the property at some point.
Okay.
But that's every ordinance. I mean, we're somewhat limited on every ordinance we have, like a noise ordinance, we've run into that before. What you ultimately can do it, and the most is a lien, and if they never
see. I mean, boroughs. Right? I mean, municipalities typically file liens against, you know, property owners for failure to pay,
sure.
Sewer rentals for failure to pay, utility rentals, you know, utilities, that type of thing. Okay. So.
It doesn't give us any more power than we have in any other ordinance, but right now we don't have that power at all. It is one way to look at it.
Could we bring this Monday night?
Well, so I'm requesting on Monday that we vote whether to move forward with this,
sure.
And then all the process.
Yeah, so what would happen, council would vote to approve the solicitor to, publish notification of a public hearing.
Okay.
Council would then have a public hearing, read the ordinance with regard to the revisions now. And then, hold a public hearing and then council will vote on it.
Okay.
So and I'll tell you what the truth, there will be people who will not be happy with this, just, obviously, but
sure.
Very few people, anytime you have an ordinance, it's going to be a subgroup that likes it or doesn't. So.
Thank you for your time on this, Phil.
Yep.
Okay, moving forward on the agenda, number 10, old business. Number 11, new business.
I do have one item, I don't want this to get contention. It's more just a request for understanding from the Communications Committee on some issues around communications. It's come up to my understanding that recently there's been an issue on our Facebook page where there's been some stressed communications between our Facebook page and some residents. I'm not even that familiar with the issue, but apparently it got heated and the posts were taken down. My request, one is, do we have a formal process on social media responses to residents in terms of tone and response? And then what is, do we have also a method on deciding when to remove public posts off our website and not? I don't want to really get into the issue itself, but I'm just more curious on how that's done.
We do, and we follow them.
Okay, because I'll be honest, what I've seen on that, and again, I don't want to get involved, but there was heated exchanges on both sides, and to me, on just my opinion here, on the borough side, we should never be heated no matter what a resident says. It should just be ultimately, if you don't agree, please come to council meeting and we'll discuss it there.
Which was said.
Okay, but what I saw there was also some heated stuff.
I don't recall seeing any of that.
My interpretation of reading it, so.
I recall some trolling type comments from a certain member of the public.
Which
but I don't
happens.
Believe that the borough responded inappropriately. I'm wondering exactly what you're referring to.
Well, again, don't want to make this a real issue, but one of the comments, which I actually would personally disagree with, is that there was a lot of comments about how previous council did not provide adequate transfer of knowledge or whatever, and was blaming the individual, that it was their responsibility to ensure information was passed on. I'll just, from a personal note,
sure.
There's a reason we have alternating election cycles. You have three council members who've been here. There should never be a time where there's not a seamless transition.
Right.
We're here. I mean, it's just, I don't even know what the issue was. So
there were specific action items assigned to specific people that were never accomplished.
Okay. Well,
and
the rest of us are here. So
but it was a year and 2 months later when some of that information made it our way, because no one transferred that information. And now finally, we do have a meeting with St. Thomas, and we do have a meeting with the state police, because some of those action items were not completed. So the responses were factual, and they were informative, which follows the social media policy. Once we were accused of lying, we hid all the posts, because that became defamatory.
Okay.
And that was also the social media policy.
So just with regards to St. Thomas, I don't even know what the issue is. I was obviously here when St. Thomas came in and asked for a change in their driveway structures and things like that. And it was actually left with St. Thomas to do the next steps, and they never did.
That's not what the notes from the PennDOT meeting state.
I don't know what the PennDOT
right.
meeting. I can only tell you what we as a borough discussed with St. Thomas at the time.
Correct. And then 6 months later, there was a meeting with PennDOT.
Right.
And no one told St. Thomas, because I called Father. And I called Mr. Keeley last week and spoke to both of them. And they had no idea there was a meeting with PennDOT. They had no idea what was said at the meeting. And they wanted to know why.
Well, I'd like to know why, because I don't know what was said at the meeting either. So, but I do know Matt.
Well, okay.
There,
but then you just said to me and everybody here that there were three people still sitting here afterwards. And we have a seamless transition because we have alternating elections. And you just said you had no idea what happened at that meeting. The problem was everybody who was at that meeting didn't get elected. And then nobody had any idea what happened at that meeting.
They were also borough officials at that meeting. They
correct.
Still borough officials.
And did not accomplish their action items.
Again,
that's where we were.
I don't really want to get into that issue. I'm more asking about the communications mm-hmm. from the actual borough webpage and getting into a multiple back and forth argument or whatever on our official Facebook page, instead of just saying, if you disagree, we'll come to council meeting and discuss it.
There was no argument. There was basically some facts that was laid out, and there was name calling from certain people in the public. So the posts were taken down because they were totally inappropriate. They violated the social media policy actually wrote. So the posts were taken down appropriately.
But on a happy note, the actual post was about, please slow down on Valley Brook Road, and please slow down at St. Thomas, and 8,400 people saw it. So 33 comments actually really helped.
So my real question is, as chair of the communications, you review these, and do you typically approve commentary that's going out? Because originally I thought you were actually the author of most of the stuff that's going out on social media.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you were the author of these. So are you reviewing them or approving them, reviewing them afterwards and deciding what's appropriate? How
does
that work?
You've never had to deal with inappropriate comments before.
Just moving forward.
Well, I agree. I mean, I think maybe it's something that does need to be discussed because we've never had to deal with hostile comments before.
So I'll be honest, forward, social media has hostile comments everywhere, mm-hmm. and residents are allowed to say what they want. I'm just curious on how that might be handled in the future. And
yes, we do need to discuss that.
And if, I mean, maybe they should all come from you, or you review them before they go out. I don't know. I don't know what the procedure is. I don't know if you guys have
Nothing
discussed
gets posted without me reviewing it.
Okay.
And making sure it follows the social media policy that we inherited.
Thank you. That's what it says.
And decisions made regarding posts being removed also follow the social media policy we inherited.
And you review that?
Every week.
Okay.
Well, you inherited it, but you also modify it, and this is the council that passed it. So it's your policy now, right? I mean, it's the borough council policy now.
If I had my druthers, I'd completely rewrite it, but it's the borough council policy. I added an email and make sure it was the committee and not me making decisions in a vacuum. But 98% of that policy we inherited.
I'm just asking to make sure you get it.
Okay, moving forward, any other comments on this?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Phil. Okay, up next, any further new business? Okay, moving forward, we were asked the public to excuse us as we will be now going into the executive session in the matters of real estate and personnel.
Mr. President, would it make sense to do number 13 first?
It would make sense, yes. Are there any additional public comment? At this point, we would take them. Anybody in the first row? Yes.
I'm Marta Driscoll, 458 Illini Road. On December 14th, I walked into the borough office as Ms. Timmons was reading my name from a computer screen to Mr. Kokoza. When Mr. Kokoza saw me enter, he raised his hand to stop her from continuing to read whatever she was reading. Mr. Kokoza, what information were you seeking about me and why?
So we were seeking no information about you whatsoever. I had inquired of Sue when the process started, when I first decided to seek a seat on council, which was the same vacancy that you were eventually appointed to. That was the entire conversation, nothing more beyond that.
You must understand how curious it was for me to enter and hear my name being read out loud.
And you must understand that since you were a member of council, your name does indeed appear in minutes, doesn't it? It just happened to be related to that particular issue. That was it.
Thank you for your response.
Sam?
Everybody else done. I would just like to ask council to reconsider when they do the bamboo ordinance that the borough enforces it, not neighbor to neighbor. And I'll just give you my take. When this ordinance was first proposed, I was told to go next door because we have an encroachment of bamboo for our neighbor. Not try to be polite. The answer was, I bought the house. When I bought the house, the bamboo was here. Go see the previous owner of the house. I'm not removing it. So now it's encroaching on our property. So if I understand the new ordinance, you would like me or us to file a civil action against the gentleman to enforce him to remove the bamboo. If we don't do that, and then it encroaches on the borough property through our property, are we then going to be held responsible for encroaching the borough's property?
So I can't give you legal advice. I can only give you legal advice for council, but there is a property owner typically has a remedy where there's an encroachment from a neighbor's property onto someone else's property in a form of either a nuisance or a trespass. So it may be that you have a common law right to file a action against another adjoining neighbor for a trespass or an encroachment onto another neighbor's property. It's always been in the law, just like a fence of some structure or something in regard to that.
Right.
And this
sitting here today, I mean, that would be an issue that, you know, is still in the legal realm.
And specific to the question you asked, and correct me if I'm wrong, it states in here, as an example, that bamboo was to come across onto fire department property. And it is well known that you made an effort through letter or whatnot to stop that, and then it came onto borough property. You're not the person responsible for that bamboo. If you did not take any action or ignored it, and the bamboo came across your property and then onto ours, then you would be the first person that's responsible. There is language in here on that.
Yeah, I think that goes to the definition of what a bamboo owner is.
Yes.
If you did not plant or grow or cause bamboo to be planted or grown on the property, you've provided satisfactory proof to the borough that, you know, after some time you discovered it, and you advised the other owner to do something.
So I think that's my point, or the point that this gentleman was trying to make, is he has a photo, he said, of when he bought the house, and there was bamboo on the property, so he inherited the bamboo. And so,
well, that's a little different, right, because then, he bought the property. This is if the bamboo came onto your property, and you weren't, you know, and it encroached on your property, you're not responsible if you made an effort. He bought that property with bamboo. He's the owner of that bamboo.
That's not the way
That's
understand
not the way
that.
It reads, though.
We'd have to look at that. Sam, I understand. This is, we've been through this a lot, and this is a compromise ordinance here, so which may still not pass. So I'm not sure we are willing to take more of a position on it than what's currently in this ordinance.
Jerry, doesn't a landowner in that situation have to, like, have a plan and say, first I'm going to talk to them, then I'm going to send them a first letter and a second letter, then I'm going to sue them? I mean, you can't just talk to them once and let it go.
Are you talking from a property owner to a
yes,
property owner?
Yeah.
Well, certainly you start out trying to be reasonable. So, you know, you talk to them, you send something, and you put them on notice that if they don't stop the encroachment, that you would, you know, take further legal action. Typically that spurs some resolution of it. Sometimes it doesn't, and that's why you have a lawsuit. But, you know, every property owner has the right to, I guess, protect their own property. And if someone's doing something that is encroaching and they have notice of it, I mean, that's why you have a common law right to do certain things for your property.
Maybe there's something I don't understand. This property is owned by the fire company, right?
Yes.
Okay, so why do you talk about encroaching on borough property?
Because it's heading our way.
You own some property in the back, so okay. If it comes through us and it goes back to your property,
then it would be the job of the borough to enforce it. And do we have anything in the ordinance that states when it encroaches upon our land as well?
Well, I think there's some language in there with regard to borough property, borough okay. right of way, right. borough dedicated road.
Yep.
So I guess at that point there would be some recourse.
Oh, good.
Okay. Sam, any further clarification?
That's it. I just think that if my own personal belief is if you're adopting an ordinance that you think is a nuisance, I think that the borough should then enforce it. You're adopting something and you're asking us. It'd be like you adopting an ordinance to put the stop sign or traffic speed limit out here and say that the neighbor has to make sure that every car going through there stops.
But we're not enforcing anything neighbor to neighbor, correct?
That's Sam's comment. He wants us to.
I think that's what the argument is, that he wants to ensure that the borough is going to enforce his ordinance to step in until that
say it's illegal. So.
We don't have to agree with you, though, right?
No, you don't. No.
So I have a public hearing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to have a public hearing. You're going to get comments from one side and comments in favor and comments in opposition to, and then council's going to have to make a decision as to whether or not they want to enact the ordinance or revise it in some different form.
Okay. Larry, did I answer your question? I'm sorry. Sam, did I answer your question?
You answered my question. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good night.
Good night.
Okay, council will now be entering into executive session. The time is 8:55. I'm sorry.
Hi, Mr. Ryan.
7:55.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Coming along, thank you.
Hey, Sue.